Welcome to Holla Chat. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Bobby. So this episode that you're about to hear was actually the very first episode that we recorded, even though it's obviously not the first episode that we have released. So like the true professionals that we weren't at the time, we entirely forgot to do an introduction. So here's your introduction.
It was also recorded before the Empty Box music video came out. So if it sounds like we don't know what's happening currently, it's because we didn't know what would happen when we recorded this. So when you hear us wishing for an Empty Box music video, our wishes were granted.
Yes. So we hope you enjoy.
So yesterday, someone messaged me on Instagram and they asked me for my opinions on why the promotions this time were so short. And I actually have like a lot of thoughts on that. But one of the things that these promos reminded me of, specifically the back half, is Hallazia. Not the front half, the back half.
Okay.
I know you weren't really collecting during Hallazia, right? You didn't start till later?
No, I was.
Okay.
I wasn't, like, I don't think I was joining any group orders at that point, but I was collecting, like, the Targets, and I got all the blankets. Were the blankets from Target? No, the teddy bear, the hug one, that was Target. And that was a whole situation. I think that was the first time they were physically in Target.
It was. I remember because it came out on my husband's birthday.
Right. It was like 2 weeks after the comeback or something like that. And it was like a whole, it was a whole situation.
And for his birthday, I did make him go get that album. A really good present for him.
It is a good present.
But, so, at the end of Hallazia, I remember very clearly they announced fan call after fan call, like, really quickly, in like every other day, they announced a new fan call, and then very abruptly, 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks after the comeback, they announced that it was the last fan call. They were all done through Makestar, and then it ended. And it wasn't like really the last, because ATEEZ doesn't do the last of anything. Like eventually, I think they did the travel fan calls or whatever, because that too, Hallazia was right before they went on tour, was it not? I think it was right before they went on Europe tour.
Yeah.
But it was very similar, and I remember Hallazia, like a lot of music shows were canceled.
Yeah, because it was the holidays.
And so the whole Hallazia promotion, like the lead up to Hallazia, was so different from what we got from Golden Hour, and we'll talk about that. But the after part, like once it came out, that has been very similar to Hallazia for me, and I don't have a problem with it. The thing that strikes me as weird is that Golden Hour is supposed to be our intro to Golden Hour, right? Like this is a new series. Hallazia was spinoff, and so like that it had a small kind of after promotion, that totally made sense. But it's weird with this one. It feels a little weird. And I think a lot of ATEEZ feel like it feels a little weird. Things feel weird.
I agree. I mean, I think they feel weird. I don't think they feel bad necessarily. But like I was saying earlier, they do feel different.
Right.
And I'm not sure how I feel about that overall. With the difference.
Change is hard.
It is hard. Because I think it when the intro video, when we finally got a piece of video, like after weeks and weeks of concept photos, which of course we will circle back to.
I realize we just skipped right past those.
We did, but you know what? We never said this was going to be chronological. When we finally got that first piece of video, it felt so much not like a beginning, but like an ending.
Yeah.
And I think that that was another reason why it was like, okay, what's happening? What's going on right now? And that they're not doing any of the things they normally do. It's, you know, the promotions were so quick. It feels like it does feel like it was rushed. And I know so many people talk about, you know, this comeback feels rushed. That's happened. We've had that conversation like for every single comeback, even when it's been 6 months. And like, I remember people talking about how the Fever era was so quick and like, well, the Fever era was actually longer than the Treasure era. So what are you talking about? But it does feel like this one, even though it's been like six, no, it's been 7 months, hasn't it? Since. So it isn't rushed, but it feels like it. It feels like they just sort of squeezed it in, and we didn't get any of the normal fanfare. And I think that that is, it has been a major component that has been lacking. But the thing is that often the fanfare is tied to the lore.
Right. So the big giant elephant in the room that with is this comeback. Giant elephant in the
room. But maybe we'll get to the elephant later. But I think that that is, for me, that's kind of what I've figured out is the issue, is that where's the lore? You know, what's going on with that? But, okay, so let's go chronological. And maybe let's talk about what Aitani's reactions have been and kind of break those down and then give our own sort of reactions to the process. Okay, so it all starts at Coachella, right?
Mm-hmm.
It does all start at Coachella. We all sort of knew it was going to start at Coachella.
Right.
But Coachella happens and we start getting the hints. We got the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
The banner. What are those called? I don't know what they're called. I feel like they should have a name.
I was going to call them a flyer, but it's not a flyer.
it's not, but it was flying.
It was flying.
So we got that, and then there was the billboard.
Billboard, yes.
Those, I think, were the only two things that we got.
I think that's true. I don't think there was anything else.
Because we didn't get the Mito dropping the SoundCloud things yet, did we? When did that happen?
I do think that was during Coachella.
Was it during Coachella? Okay. I noticed that it felt like they did less for the hints. Because, you know, when they did Outlaw, Outlaw was insane.
Yeah.
They had, because they were also having the concert in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, like, the whole billboard thing and then the billboard getting smashed. And that was just brilliant. And I loved that so much. I love fun things like that. And how, you know, the with the wanted posters, and they did, like, some QR code stuff. And they had the posters, like, I want to say it was in Hongdae, but I don't know. I might be making that up. But they had the posters up.
And that Bouncy was on the heels of Hallelujah, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was like 5.5 months after Hallelujah.
But it was the comeback after Hallelujah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where we had the crazy lore video that people still talk about. You know, like, people remember that lore video. We had all sorts of, like, crazy stuff during Hallelujah that, like, had people guessing and thinking, and, like, we might not have gotten as much as we did during Bouncy, during Will, but we got some. There was lore.
We did have lore, and they did have more video content where they did the teasers. They had, I specifically remember the Jungkook and Mingi one for We Know, I believe it was, in their suits.
Yes, it was very good.
It was very good. Got kind of the vibes. And the thing that I will circle back to is that it matched the vibes of Crazy Form. Like, it gave us content from the music video. And so we had kind of an idea of what to expect with the music video. And it also had an intro video, that whole with the one with Hong Joon and the crazy Cheshire Cat smile.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
And, like, the girl he sees, we assume is Be Free Girl. You know, in the thing.
Oh, and Hallelujah, sorry to go back to Hallelujah, had that epilogue.
The epilogue with the violin music, that I'm like, where's the song with the violin music? Eden. That is why I am beefing with Eden. That right there is that, where's the song with the violin music?
You can't. All of my beefs with Eden involve him keeping music that he has shown me before, but never giving it to me.
Concert
Inception, like the crazy, like, puppeteer doll version of Inception. Mm-hmm. That one's so good. You have given me so many remix albums. Why is one of them not the concert remixes? I don't understand. Anyway, that has nothing to do with these concept pictures.
Why must they gatekeep?
Why?
Okay, so concept photos. Let's just get into it.
I will say that a lot of people said that concept photos felt rushed, and I disagree strongly with that.
How, like, do they, what do you mean, feel rushed?
Yeah, like, I don't know what that means.
What does that
exactly
mean? Because they gave them to us at a normal pace.
And they gave them to us at a normal pace. I think they mean, like, off the taking of them, like, that they didn't have a clear concept. And I guess I can kind, you know, I'm of two minds. One of my minds is very strongly, like, I don't care what concept pictures look like in general.
I mean, I do, but I also don't. you know?
Right. Like, I'm not going to check out an album because of concept pictures.
Right.
If I like an album and I like I already like a group and I like the concept pictures, I can get excited about what the concept is. My problem with these concept pictures is not that they were bad, because I think many of them were good. You know that I have, in my head and heart, crafted an ode to Jungho and his beanie. Yes. We all have. Like, he was so powerful. Mm-hmm. And he's also wearing denim, which is perfect.
Mm-hmm. He's Some perfect. Might say too powerful.
Too powerful. So you know that I loved how they looked in the concept photos. Like, that's mm-hmm. not an issue. And I didn't think the concept photos needed to do any specific thing. But like you, I think this is where it falls down for you, too. We didn't, like... They don't have anything to do with the music video.
Right.
At all.
Well, even the album design is completely divorced from mm-hmm. the music video.
Which I think is fine. I do think a lot of it has to do with the lore that they've written for this book. Mm-hmm. Which is, in some ways, lore light. I love the story. I think I told you that I mm-hmm. love the story that they did in this diary. I think it's so good. I think it's such a well done arc for all of the characters. I feel like it really makes sense, and I really feel like it speaks to, you know, the human condition and growing up and having mm-hmm. things change, and I love all of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that the concept photos have that vibe.
Right.
And I think that the album design has that vibe. Mm-hmm. The stuff that's missing is that connector piece to the music video. And I can kind of get there. Mm-hmm. But I do have to get myself there. It's like, oh, well, you know, the song's about working, which is something you have to do when you get older. And it's like taking these things that are hard and kind of making them fun and like mm-hmm. poking some fun at them.
Well, also very much on the surface that the diary is about the jobs that they their professions that they right. start to pursue instead of pursuing their dream.
Right.
So, yeah, thematically, and it does work. It's just the vibes are completely different. And I know that we've talked about before that the music video doesn't necessarily, it's not a one-to-one with right. what's going on in the diary. It kind of has some of the same themes mm-hmm. and some of the same imagery and sort of a suggestion of what is happening in the diary. But it's like the music videos are doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this one does feel more divorced from right. what's happening in the diary than is normal.
I wonder if we had Bible studies, if we had done our Bible studies for Will. Like, or not Will. Well, and Will, too. But, like, if we were up on our Bible studies for Golden Hour, like, we'd read all of this and then we watched the music video, would we kind of turn a bit on it and be like, oh, actually, maybe they are exploring a lot of the same themes? Because I do think it's interesting that at a very literal level, they're the same, right? Work and work. It's right. about work. Mm-hmm. But notably, in the diary, they all seem, they're not sad, mm-mm. but they're not like emotionally fulfilled. They're missing something.
It's like they all seem let down.
Right.
Resigned.
And in a lot of ways, the music video feels like it's trying to, I don't know what the word, not like poke fun at it, but like mm-hmm. bring you around to whatever is happening.
Well, inject some joy back into, because all of them, even though they aren't, you know, pursuing their dream, all mm-hmm. of them are doing things that they enjoy. You know, Hongjun has found his family and that's a big deal. And he's like, all of them are happy,
mm-hmm.
but they're just not the happiest they could be, I think. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I think it's an interesting thing to talk about is sometimes it's not bad to settle. Sometimes just good enough is good enough. Is that you that says that? Good enough is good enough?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or something uh-huh. like that? Or good enough is perfect or something like that?
Yeah, good enough is perfect.
And I think that that's where a lot of them are, is mm-hmm. this is good enough for me. And so, you know, like Woo-young deciding that being a flight attendant is kind of like being on a stage. He likes talking, and they start doing dance routines for the in-flight instructions, which I think is hilarious, and I wish that were a thing.
Apparently it is. Really? One of my like cousin last night at dinner was telling me that on her flight, her Korean Air flight, mm-hmm. from Korea, there's like a K-pop group that like dances and sings the instructions, and they like play the video for them. So the flight instructions are performed. Yeah, I think there is something to the idea that the music video and like, you know, gotta work, gotta make that money. Like, it is funny and lighthearted, but there is like that serious message that ATEEZ always has underneath mm-hmm. it.
I think so. I feel like it's buried a bit more than it normally is. Mm-hmm. Because there is so much silliness in the music video. And I'm 100% down for that. I love that it's fun. I love that it's goofy. Can we talk about the flute? I feel like this is a great opportunity for me to finally speak my piece about the flute.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
So many people were upset, and or not upset. I don't think they were truly upset. They were being dramatic, because ATEEZ are always dramatic. But they were like, I just can't take it seriously. Like, why are you trying to take it seriously? He's mm-hmm. buried in a hole for no reason. Like, they literally were just like, it should be funny if it's just Jong-un, and that's why. But they were like, why is he playing a flute when the instrument is a clarinet? And I'm like, okay, y'all, first of all, they're not idiots. They know that it's a clarinet. But how is he supposed to play a clarinet when he is buried in a hole? Obviously, mm-hmm. they went with the flute because it makes sense with him being buried in a hole. Why is he buried in a hole? Maybe he's buried treasure. I don't know. Maybe that was the connection. Maybe they dug him up.
Oh, and they're like, wow, we found some treasure.
But can we please stop? Can we stop? Because we all know, everybody knows it's a clarinet and not a flute. Nobody is confused. Nobody on the staff was confused. Jong-un was not confused. Eden was not confused. Director was not confused.
They even told us it was a clarinet. They gave that to us. Right.
And they know that what he is playing is a flute and not a clarinet. But he couldn't play a clarinet and be in a hole. The flute mm-hmm. made sense. So mm-hmm. stop talking about it. Please. I beg. There are other things to discuss.
Uh-huh. Better okay. things.
Right. I've said what I needed to say. I feel better. I feel cleansed a little bit.
Any other thoughts on these concept pictures? I don't even know if we talked about them.
I don't think we did very much. Just that they were, you know, I had the same feelings that they felt very disconnected from the concept, which makes me question what is the purpose of a concept photo if it is not going to share the concept. But okay. Part of me thinks that an excellent, you know, way to make the concept photos make sense is if we get a surprise empty box music video, mm-hmm. which I've been gunning for a surprise B-side music video ever since Take Me Home. I think I've really wanted a B-side music video. Please, why are we not doing it? But I do think that overall the concept photos are an introduction not to work, but to the era. And it is a very realistic sort of era. I don't know where we're going from here. There's another Cromer, apparently, but this is not a lore podcast, so we won't get into that.
Well, this episode is not a lore podcast. This episode podcast. Is not. Let's not say this podcast is a lore podcast. Moon. I'm not ready to say that.
I do think that it is meant to be an introduction to this new era, which is not going to be wild and crazy the way that the world era was. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be, you know, feverish the way fever was. It's not going to be that, you know, the struggles of youth type of thing. We're more mature now. We're settled. We aren't chasing our dreams. We are being mm-hmm. calm, and we're being responsible adults, which is a weird vibe for ATEEZ, but I'm interested to see what they do with it.
The diary itself does remind me of the diary for Fever Part 1. Mm-hmm.
Like the way I think it's supposed to be reminiscent of it.
I think the thing that Fever Part 1 has that Golden Hour doesn't is a diary film to like, you know, because I think if we had just gotten the Fever diary as written without any diary film, I was not a part of the fandom then, so I can't mm-hmm. speak for sure. But like, there's not a lot to hook into mm-hmm. in that first Fever diary. It is the film with like the upside down stuff and the floating and then the holities coming. It is the film that's like, oh shit, what's going on? Mm-hmm. With the, you know, with Golden Hour, we don't have that. We just have the Fever diary. And like, I know a lot of like the big, like the a lot of people who really were here for the lore are feeling put out. Mm-hmm. And I can see that. I told you I love this diary. I do mm-hmm. think it's good. I think it's a great storytelling. I agree, though, that there is not much to hook into as right. far as, like, a lore perspective goes.
Yeah, it's very much an introduction. And I do think that you're right that the real selling point of Fever Part 1 was the diary film. Mm-hmm. And I think they knew that because then they came around with Fever Road, which tied back into the diary mm-hmm. film. And so it was like a whole extension of that. I was in the fandom at the time. I wasn't really like on social media or like active in the fandom, but I was, mm-hmm. it was an Aitney, a baby one. I was about 7 months old when it dropped. But it was a pivotal moment, I think, in the fandom, because that was when we went from this little baby Nugu group that not really many people knew to they were doing this whole big thing. Mm-hmm. And I just remember looking at the video and it's like 20 minutes long. And I was like, yeah, oh my gosh.
It feels big. It feels big.
It really was.
We don't have anything from this comeback that feels big, mm-hmm. you know? And like, that's fine. We didn't have anything for, really everything in the world felt big, but.
Well, we had those trailers.
Yeah.
Those two massively cinematic trailers we had. They were short. Mm-hmm. But they were super impactful. And we don't have anything impactful from this is, I think, the thing.
Yeah, which is fine, I think. Like, I do think that's fine. It's weird to start a new era that way. It's weird to, like, be like, and here's our new era.
Okay, bye.
And then just kind of walk away from it. Like, wait, what?
I do think part of it is a scheduling thing. I agree. Do think, you know, Mawazine, we haven't really known about that long. Mm-hmm. So I think that that has been a fairly recent.
We also don't know when they booked Coachella. Right. We know when we knew they booked Coachella, but it's. I do think that they had plans that mm-hmm. were pushed back because of Coachella. I think mm-hmm. had Coachella not happened, this comeback would have been possibly a month earlier. Mm. Or it would have looked a little different. But mm-hmm. I think they always had a comeback scheduled for the summer. And, you know, because of Coachella, because of the timing, they had to push things back, like the tour. They mm-hmm. still needed to get their comebacks in to be on schedule for whatever they have planned. Like, there's no denying that Coachella affected the U.S. tour and when they could do it.
Right. Because even the announcement of the U.S. dates felt like they came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't long before we were having to buy tickets.
Mm-hmm. And I know that there is, like, a contract writer in Coachella that's like, you can't mm-hmm. perform or announce performances or whatever up until these dates. So, mm-hmm. like, it is 100% true that Coachella affected their U.S. tour in some way. Whether or not that affected how they did the comeback, mm-hmm. because they have a schedule. We know they have a schedule. They've been, you know, releasing and producing music to fit certain milestones for years now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure that it changed things for them. Is that why this one feels like they just had to kind of throw it out and walk away?
I think that is part of it. And part of me is like, I wonder if that is like part of a larger game plan that we are having this very gentle, you know, no fanfare kind of start, and then we're going to build up to something really big at the end. Instead of starting with a bang, we're going to build mm-hmm. up to a big bang, and maybe that's when we'll get our second diary film.
I have also thought about whether or not they're building to the back end. Mm-hmm. I thought about also, I do want to say real quick that I think they killed it, this comeback. Like, the yes. music was good. The album Always. Was so good.
So
full
fun.
Album, so good. Music video, so good. Mm-hmm. So, like, as far as, like, the actual album, also the album does look beautiful. Like, those cases mm-hmm. are beautiful. So, like, as far as the actual album goes, they did kill it. It's just kind of the other stuff that's, like, that we're used to having, but not, right. but we don't have. Mm-hmm. But I've thought, too, about, you know, how like this mini fan meet, right? Like they have been so committed to getting a Korean audience for so mm-hmm. many comebacks now. And it has been unsuccessful for so many comebacks now. And we talk about it all the time on, like, people talk about it on, all the time on Twitter. Like, let's just focus on international. Like, mm-hmm. let's stop even trying because we're not seeing success. And, like, I know they do want domestic success. I think that releasing good albums, performing at those festivals that are highly attended by other people, like the university mm-hmm. festivals, mm-hmm. I think that's how they get new fans in Korea. Yeah. And so if their plan is to not promote in Korea, but to just release really good music, like, I think that's as good of a plan as they've had. Like, they've been promoting as hard as they can for the past mm-hmm. four comebacks, and we've seen no return on that investment.
Right. I remember watching Coachella, you know, middle mm-hmm. of the night, sitting, mm-hmm. you know, sitting up when watching my television.
The good one or the bad one? The one where they
Well, they were both excellent. The good camera work one. The second
The good week. Camera work one, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, obviously, they were both
excellent. Well, the first one, but we got Wendy Jong-ho, which,
Wendy
who can
Jung-ho.
Forget that? It was so good.
So good.
But after that, sort of like in the afterglow of the performance, thinking, how do they go back to an Inkigayo stage?
Yeah.
How do they go back to recording at 3 o'clock in the morning for yeah. these music shows? That most of, you know, only like three of which they can ever win
mm-hmm.
because of the way the scoring is done.
Mm-hmm.
Why are there so many music shows? Also, nobody's really watching them. And I'm like, I don't know of anybody who's like, oh yeah, I became a fan because I watched them on a music show.
No, those music shows are for people who are fans already.
Right, like Kingdom, but we're not going to get into Kingdom.
Well, Kingdom did bring me in, so there's that.
It did, but you were there. Well, you weren't there to watch another group, though. You were just...
I was there to watch ATEEZ.
Oh, you were? So,
I was there to watch ATEEZ. Like, I knew of ATEEZ because mm-hmm. of their music.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, like, had heard of them.
Okay.
This was when it was, like, ATEEZ and TXT were my, like, two mm-hmm. groups that I, when their music came on, I was always like, ooh, these are good songs.
Right.
And so I knew their name because of that. I wasn't a fan of them, didn't know any of the members.
Mm-hmm.
But I did know that I liked some of their songs. And I was looking to get into different K-pop groups because my friend was into BTS and I liked mm-hmm. K-dramas. And so I was like, oh, I want to learn about other groups. And I happened to, like, go on Reddit and see that ATEEZ was going to be on Kingdom. And I was mm-hmm. like, oh, well, this is a group that I know and they're going to be on this show. So let me watch it and see
mm-hmm.
what it is. And that is how I became an ATEENY.
Okay. But I don't think that music shows are garnering them any attention in Korea because the general public are not watching them. Like, maybe they've got them on in the background at the best case scenario is, like, they're playing
at, like, the doctor's office.
Yeah. So I don't think that they are doing anything for them. And I know that ATEEZ love to count the trophies and count the wins because mm-hmm. that's a thing that we can count. And we all know how we love to count.
uh-huh.
But I just don't see how they're doing anything for them.
I don't I am happy about the short promotions because I don't think they should be going to these music shows anymore. I don't think that I should be having to, like, spend $10 on mm-hmm. votes for these apps. I don't care about those companies. I would rather give that $10 directly to ATEEZ.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm so super happy if they want to stop doing those promotions.
Like, I think, like, the only reason that they did the show this time, because, you know, they famously skipped Show Champion, but I think they only went to the show was so Yosung could say goodbye.
I think so, too.
Which I think is so precious.
Because they also skipped the show the next week.
They did. Like, they only did, they did Music Bank
mm-hmm.
the first week.
And I think they have some sort of contractual deal with Music mm-hmm. Bank. I don't know what.
KBS?
Yeah.
Because they're besties?
Yeah, I don't know what that contractual deal is, but I think they'll always go on KBS.
I am fine with that because KBS, for the most part, has treated them very, very well.
Yeah, yeah.
Cannot say the same for
Hello 82.
Other companies that we will not speak of.
Weird.
I am also pleased that they did not, because they're exhausting, and mm-hmm. I think these shows take advantage of the idols more than they help them. They make no money whatsoever. It makes sense for, like, new groups that nobody knows anything about, but I feel like ATEEZ are at the point where Koreans actually do know who they right. are.
They're just not fans.
They're not getting pushed their music the same way that they're mm-hmm. getting pushed other companies, groups, music.
Right.
I say that very carefully.
I think it's true that, like, in Korea, they have a reputation for being high quality performers. Mm-hmm. They have a reputation for having lots of fans, being mm-hmm. successful. But yeah, they don't have radio play. Mm-mm. They don't get OSTs. They don't get brand deals. Mm-hmm. And music shows aren't going to change that. Yeah. The only thing that would change that is if KQ makes so much money that they start buying other companies and become mm-hmm. a huge company.
Yeah, like, that's
what's going to change it.
I thought it was hilarious on the show with the TVXQ. It was the Super Junior mm-hmm. members that were like, because Hongjoon was talking about how well Sean treats them and mm-hmm. giving them bonuses and mm-hmm. I think I need to give you more bonus because you've done better than I expected you to after Coachella. And they were like, are you looking to, like, merch? Interested? Or do you want to, like... And Hongju's like, I think you're too expensive for us. How is it other idols are seeing the company? And they're like, oh, yeah, that seems great. But ATEEZ mm-hmm. are like, actually, KQ is the devil.
Like, uh-huh. No.
Are we sure?
I think we've talked about this before. It's the first time on our podcast. But, like, ATEEZ want a struggle.
Yeah.
They want to struggle.
They do.
We have... And I say this so carefully. I sort of think it's KQ's fault this time. They didn't give us any lore. They didn't mm-hmm. give us anything to obsess over. So what are ATEEZ supposed to do? They're going to pick a fight. Yeah. Like, they're so bored.
Yeah, we normally have things to talk about and without the,
like,
promo.
Timeline.
Yeah. I mean, like, and that really only keeps the lore teenies busy, but I do think that everybody becomes a lore teenie at comeback time.
Yes.
Because everybody wants to know what everything means, and they want to talk about the sirens, and they want to talk about whether or not Woo Young has actually betrayed everybody else or not, or will he in the future.
And we all know those theories are hot garbage, but at least they're better than, you know, trending KQ do better hashtags. So.
Yeah, planning to trend KQ do better. And I'm like, do better at what specifically? What are you all mad about? Because...
Well, they're mad about the concept photos, which we're talking about.
Well, we can't change those now. And I also feel like it's more helpful, instead of just complaining and saying, you know, here I go and I can do my constructive criticism rant. But it's not helpful to just be like, the concept photos are boring. That's not mm-hmm. helpful. Why are they boring? Like, just because you are bored doesn't mean everybody else is bored. It's more helpful to give, like, feedback that you can... take action on. Like, I can say, I would really appreciate it if the concept photos actually portrayed the concepts that's used in the music video. I want to be mentally and emotionally prepared for what the music video is going to be. I don't really want to go in completely blind.
If you can look at Jungho in his black beanie and his black denim jacket and say,
where
that's
was
boring,
his black
then
beanie?
You just...
KQ, I have a question. Where was Jungho's black beanie in the music video? That might be, like, my new number one beef. It's no longer the Halazia betrayal. It is, it's not K-Teeny Day. It's not Anatees, the other one.
Teesmon.
It is that Jungho's beanie is not on video.
I just want to say that I told Jungho how important that beanie was to me and to you and to all of us Rebos. I told him, I was like, these are the best concept pictures you've ever had. We loved this beanie. You should wear more beanies. And he posted more beanie pictures. So Jungho's listening. That's all I can say.
The math checks out, folks. It does.
KQ might not be listening to our beanie complaints, but Jung-ho is, and that's important.
That is important. He's our lifeline to the stylist. More beanies, please, Jung-ho. And I just don't, and that's the thing, is like, don't give me the world's most amazing concept photo and then do anything with it. That's my problem, is that I saw these amazing, that the concept that I was expecting based on the photos that they showed me.
And the original video.
Mm-hmm. All of that prepared me for a very different music video experience. And so I went into this wild and crazy song was riding an ostrich and Jung was buried in the ground and playing a flute and what is happening. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't any of the vibe that they had been giving me up to that point.
Right.
And so I feel like they're... I think they gave us too much credit that we would be able to put all the pieces together and maybe like, oh, well, there's hip-hop Mido, and Woo Young said that it was hip-hop, and which he did do.
He did do that.
There
is a slower type of hip-hop, too, though. Like, right. I thought we were going to get a hip-hop that was a little more...
Like an emotional hip-hop song.
Yeah, which it exists.
It does exist, and I'd be super excited for that. But that is my only beef. Like, I think the actual photos themselves were beautiful, even though I told you they're not taken by Booba. Mm-hmm. They're taken by a brand new guy. Daechon Studios or something like that? I forget. I looked it up.
I'll have feelings about that someday. I just don't know how to feel about it. Like, I assume he's still on the team, right?
He was with them for Coachella.
Mm-hmm. And these were taken before Coachella.
So, like I told you, I don't think that it's, like, a divorce. I don't think that he's never going to work with them again. I think he still will be traveling with them because he seems pretty attached to them. He also has not really posted much of anything on his Instagram for several months, which is not that unusual for him, but I do wonder if maybe he just had like family stuff or health issues or you know, there's a whole myriad of things that it could be. So I think we just have to wait and see.
He was also doing Psyker's photos for a while, wasn't he?
You're thinking DigiPetty, because DigiPetty did do the music video.
I do have one thing I want to say. The comebacks and the time between the tours. Mm. So we had the Korea and the Japan tour. Mm-hmm. And then we have a comeback. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to get the US tour.
Right.
And then there's a big long break. And then there's the Europe tour.
Well, we don't have dates for Europe tour, but we know that they're in 2025, right?
Yes, it's in 2025. So we know it's a big long break because they're going to be done with this tour in, August? Mm-hmm. So that's at least 4 months. Do you think that they will be doing album release, leg of tour, album release, leg of tour?
That's just going to be the pattern from now on?
Because someone had mentioned this, and I do think that there is a point that the best way to sell tickets to their concerts is to have had a recently released album. Mm-hmm. And if they have decided that the best way for them to get fans is these performances and their concerts, because I do think even their concerts attract new fans, because everyone wants to go see ATs because they've heard a reputation. So even non-fans are going to these concerts and giving them money. Mm-hmm. Is that the strategy that they're going for? So, like, maybe it's a little rush, but their priority was getting a new album out before the tours. And will we be seeing another one? I'm almost sure we'll be seeing another album in December,
they do 2 a year at least. That has been their pattern. But granted, we're breaking patterns now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it would be super, super weird if the only thing that they released in 2024 was a mini album.
A mini album with almost no promotion.
They have been keeping a pattern of having a Japanese release in between, because we had Limitless, and then we just recently had Not Okay.
And they've been doing more promotion for their Japanese releases, too, to kind of, like, make them feel...
Well, because the Japanese appreciate them.
So. They do. They're the best of us.
They are the best of us. So I would expect, I know that the babies are having a Japanese thing in August, and I think KQ is pretty good about not overlapping what's going on with ATs and Zykers. So I wouldn't expect an ATs Japanese release right after that.
I would expect them to be shooting for their new music video. because it'll be right after tour.
They're gonna
people
finish
will
tour.
Be distracted by the by psychers.
I would not be surprised if we get like another November December release. Like if so that's too. The new pattern is a summer release and a winter release, maybe mm-hmm. even like a January.
And I don't know that it's wrong. Like I do mm-hmm. think having a comeback before a tour gets people hyped. I think in many ways it hurts your album sales, but.
The album sales are not where you make your money anyway.
Right. Like, I don't think that's what they're trying to get. They have fan calls for album sales.
Right.
Which they do a lot of. So I think to them it's more important to get tour sales.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think releasing a comeback before your tour is a reasonable way to get those.
It is. The thing I don't like about that, though, is the Halazia problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. now there are, you know, European and Korean, and did they also perform it in South America and Central and South America?
I think they did.
All of these other H&Es have seen Halazia,
never will.
So they're running into the problem of,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there are going to be songs. I think they are going to have, I think they're going to replace something with work.
They've said, like, I think Hongjoong said that people were mad last time and so they weren't going to do it, but it would be...
But people are also going to be mad if they don't see the new songs.
Right, like, if your strategy...
People are expecting blind on this tour.
I agree with you. I don't know that it's not a good strategy. Like, I don't know that I like it. But if your strategy is to release a comeback before you mm-hmm. go on tour, you better perform at least your title track on that tour.
Yeah. See, the problem is that they're just going to be constantly having a new tour.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just it's not going to be the Towards the Light tour. It's going to be 15 different versions of Towards the Light.
Right. Towards the Light in Europe. Towards the Right in Asia.
It's tricky, but their only other option is to either not release anything new
mm-hmm.
for a long time,
mm-hmm.
or they've got to get through their entire tour in one long go.
Mm-hmm. And both of those are hard for a small company.
They are very hard. And, I mean, even if you're, like, even the bigger companies don't do tours. Like, they just barely tour. That's,
right.
that's what they do. They barely go to Europe. They barely cover the U.S. Don't even know that South America exists. Africa, who's she? We've never met her.
Yeah.
So, like, they have very specific markets that they cater to, and they can get away with it because they can do the stadium tours and
mm-hmm.
you know, pack the, go to fewer places, but have more people come.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it is their best option, and
yeah.
I don't like it because of what I miss out on.
Right.
And it's very sad seeing other people enjoy things that I want.
Mm-hmm. That good thing that happened to you should have happened to me.
Yeah, I think that is the best strategy for them with where they are and who they are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they've got another option, because if they go too long without releasing music, you know the fandom's going to lose its mind.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have a coloring book or we are going to start running around the restaurant. You know?
Uh-huh. And, I feel like that's the main problem with the promotions right now. They haven't given us a big enough coloring book.
Right. And there's nothing for us to do now except mm-hmm. to wait for the tour to happen, because there's nothing else happening. And this mm-hmm. would have been a perfect time for them to release a empty box music video. Because after William, then they gave us all the solo music videos. And so they stretched that out.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing for people to complain about was that apparently they thought that the It's You looked cheap or whatever, which...
I don't even remember that, but I remember them saying that, like, what was the thing that people kept saying? That KQ didn't upload Youth to YouTube. Because, it had gotten, taken down by YouTube. Obviously, KQ didn't have anything to do with that.
It wasn't that it wasn't uploaded. It was that there was this one playlist that YouTube hadn't added it to. And I could never find that. Like, I saw screenshots of the playlist, but I could never find the playlist itself. So I mm-hmm. didn't know what people were talking about.
I just remember it being like, I don't think KQ's trying to make that song not a thing, because... KQ makes money every time that song is played. That's money right in their little pockets.
they were just, they wanted trouble, and they knew because it wasn't one that Eden had produced. Mm-hmm. So they were going to capitalize on that drama as much as they possibly could. So, yeah, but it did give us overall, there was stuff to talk about. I know all the Rebos were talking about the girl in Jungo's mm-hmm. music video. Everybody was freaking out about that.
And there was lore in the It's You video. Mm-hmm. We had the birdcage. We had things to discuss.
Well, there was lore in all of them. Mm-hmm. Like, all of them were lore adjacent, kind of touched on reality and also a little bit of lore, like the cameras and stuff. And Matt's in the looking back on where they were in Fever, in youth, and Jongo's broken dreams and broken basketball and being bad at relationships and everything. And so, like, there was lore for us to talk about, which we haven't. I don't think we've really, like, dug into that, but we haven't really gotten that far. But we got to get back to Bible study. We're very backslidden.
I know.
But it gave us something to talk about, and it kind of tided us over until, like, that went right up until Not Okay came out. Yes. And then we had the Hong Jun's collaboration with Chungha. And then then we got into Coachella territory. So they've mm-hmm. been, like, feeding us pretty consistently mm-hmm. with things to talk about and exciting mm-hmm. things. And then it does feel like all of that has come to a kind of a grinding halt with Golden Hour. Because now we don't even have, like, Wanties to watch.
Uh-huh.
You know, we haven't gotten, like, they've been giving us, you know, the normal content. We're getting behind the scenes, which 18s have begged for. But it's just causing more contention because mm-hmm. it's giving them things to complain about mm-hmm. for the people with their stopwatches.
Let's take all the stopwatches and just throw them away.
Throw them into the ocean. We don't need them. We never have.
I don't know where, like, I don't know how the fandom chills. Like, I don't know how we can get back to, like, an equilibrium, because it feels like we can't. There's so much divide between, like, the normal people and the not ones. That's not a nice way to phrase it, but...
No. I feel like it was last week when... It was last week when I went on my Twitter break and I deleted the app because I was just too over it. So... when all the drama was happening and I felt mm-hmm. very much like lost and alone and was like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. I actually got on Reddit.
Oh.
And because I was like, is anybody on Reddit talking about this? What's going on? They weren't. There was nothing happening on Reddit. Then it showed up in my email because Reddit still sends me the emails like, here are posts. Please come back. Please read these posts. And there was one that popped up that it was about 18s are being stupid. And I was like, yes, they are. Let me click on it. But I just was like, you know what? I had this urge to just go on, like, the K-pop thoughts and to be like, other fandoms, are you people also crazy? Like, you just kind of, like, I'm an 18E and here is my experience. Is it like this in other fandoms, or are 18Es a special breed of insane? Because I wonder if we're going through that phase when you go from being, like, you know, a medium fandom to a larger fandom and mm-hmm. you start getting all the crazy people who are here because they feed off of the success.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we're going through those sorts of growing pains, if that's what's going on. Because I do, you know, just statistically, the more people you have in a fandom, the more crazy people you will have in a fandom.
No, for sure. And it feels like it has gotten worse since I've been in the fandom, since mm-hmm. 18s has grown. My experience has definitely had to be more protected. I wouldn't say my experience is worse, but I've had to really go out of my way to, like, not engage with people. Like, at this point on Twitter, if someone says a hot garbage opinion that I know comes from a place of hate, I block them immediately and I do not engage. Like,
oh, a mild garbage. Like, slightly negative? No, sorry. I don't need that in my life. Bye.
If we had been friends in the past and they give me some mild garbage and I know in the past I've seen some okay opinions from them, I'll keep them. Mm-hmm. But if it's like a new rando who comes across my timeline and they're spouting hot garbage, they are gone immediately. And I do not look back. And, like, Like, I don't remember their username. I don't go check. Like, they're gone. They don't exist for me. And I never had to, like, do that level of blocking of people just, like, even a year ago. Like, I would block people, but not to that level. Mm-hmm. I also think my account has gotten bigger, so that sucks.
Yeah.
It's still, like, a super small account. I have, like, 200 followers, but, like, for some reason, my account has some reach. I think because people are, like, tracking it. So, you know, like, because of that, I think my, like, the people who are interacting with me are also worse. Mm. So.
You've attracted the wrong crowd.
Somehow. Right. I don't know that my experience is consistent to just, like, the general experience. But I have felt like I had to protect it much more, block more mm-hmm. people, even for the smallest slight.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure people are like, oh man, I don't know how people react after they've been blocked by me because I don't go check on them, but I have seen people.
They may not even know.
They like, might not
they
know.
They may not realize it.
I've seen people go like respond about other people who have blocked them. They'll like take a screenshot and be like, I can't believe this person blocked me. That must prove that whatever I was saying is true. And it's like, or it proves that they think you're an asshole. Right. So I'm not sure.
I mean, that's like saying that anybody who pleads the fifth is automatically guilty. It's like, mm-hmm. no, I just, or who asks for a lawyer when they've been arrested. Like, that
well,
doesn't
it was
mean
like
you're
when
guilty.
The,
just,
when
just,
Eden deleted his Instagram and people were like, this means that he's guilty. No, he doesn't.
The question is, did he delete it or was it taken away because it was mass reported?
I think falsely. It was, I personally think it was taken away because it was mass reported mm-hmm. unjustly and that he just doesn't care enough to get it back. Because
he could have just gone private and just cleaned it out if he wanted to keep it.
Mm-hmm. He rarely posted on Instagram anyway.
Like I love that like the last thing that we got from him was like a foot pic in a group of other pictures. I think that's fun. I love that legacy for him.
I love that I wore an Eden shirt and like later that day he's like, here you go, baby.
This one's for you. I guarantee Hong Jun probably had him on the phone immediately after that fan sign. I was like, you will not believe who just came to our fan sign.
Your number it. One fan in America. Yeah. Well, that's good for me.
Okay, so final thoughts.
For the lore, I think it was a misstep. I think they listened to 18E Twitter, which said that the lore was hard for new people. Mm-hmm. We don't want, like, we need a concept map where we know what's going to drop and when. We want predictable things because it's hard for new people to get into ATs. They don't know where to find stuff. They don't want to have to look. They, like, let's make it easy. Like, that was a really forcefully put forward attitude during, I want to say Bouncy, which is crazy because Bouncy was so successful. Mm-hmm. But anyways, and I think they did that. I think that's what they were trying to do. I think they were trying to make this accessible for people who didn't have the lore, didn't know about the lore, didn't want to engage with the lore. But I think that misses the point that, like, 18Es are here, a lot of them, because of the lore. And, like, mm-hmm. that type of puzzle, mystery, excitement, that is what gets us hype. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of the comeback hype was missing because we didn't have that. And that's not to say that people weren't excited. I was excited, but, like, there was nothing to do. There was mm-hmm. nothing to figure out. We had concept pictures that were like, oh, they look very pretty. Mm-hmm. And then there was nothing to do with them. There was no dissecting, no coming back to, no discussion. And so it felt like a piece was missing. And I think it is the lore. Whether or not you are a lore teeny, that mm-hmm. piece is what gets the fandom hyped for the comeback. And so I also want to see the lore come back.
I do think that a lot of the lore teeny excitement spills over into the general 18E public.
I agree.
Who maybe don't follow things as closely, but I think that seeing, and I do think that there is a little bit of FOMO with, you know, not quite knowing what people are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just like to say nobody on Twitter knows what they're talking about. Literally no one.
Hey, I'm on Twitter, and I know exactly what I'm talking about.
You don't talk about the lore on Twitter, though.
That's true, I don't.
But, like, just my message for all baby teenies who are like, I just can't get into the lore. When you, all you need to do is read the diaries. That's literally all you need to do, and you will be fully caught up.
Mm-hmm.
It's all you need. We've got a link somewhere to all the diaries.
Well, we'll put that link in this podcast description.
We'll put that link somewhere, wherever this podcast goes. But just because somebody is speaking with confidence about what the lore means does not mean that they're right. And normally they are not. They're provably incorrect. So you don't have to. There is nothing to. That's the thing, is that I don't understand what people talk about when they say they can't get into the lore, and not to like start a whole new conversation, but I don't get that. And I think ATs were wrong about that. I think that was a bad choice. I agree. Mm-hmm. And I do think that one of the reasons why they tried to make this particular comeback so accessible is because it is following right on the heels of Coachella.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think that part was wrong.
No, I don't. The only misstep for me, like the only true misstep, is the lack of lore.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's, like I said, unless they're playing a long game.
What if we don't get... We don't get Empty Box music video, but we do get diary film too.
It would have been such a fun diary film seeing them. I want to see, you know, be Indiana Jones. That would have been so much fun.
So fun.
I want to see Woo-young be a little, you know, flight attendant, and Song was a you know, bulky old fireman saving people's lives. It would have been so much fun. And they had such fun locations for it that they could have played with. I'm going to say my prediction, my hope, is that they are lulling us into a false sense of security.
Mm-hmm.
That they're making us think they're going to pull an old switcheroo. Just like with ATs in the diaries, they think they're all settled. They think that the world is very prosaic and they've lost the craziness of the Z world. Mm-hmm. But I think that they're going to find out that things are just as crazy in the A world as they are in the Z world. Or maybe we're going to leave A world. Maybe we're going to go somewhere completely different, you know, because apparently the Cromer is still a thing. So I don't know. Maybe mm-hmm. there's another version of Holotees. Maybe there are infinite Holoteeses. Who knows?
Well, definitely some theories we've talked about.
Mm-hmm. So I think it'd be fun for them to go to a magic world, and we could get into some fantasy mm-hmm. instead of sci-fi. And then we can finally get the really outlandish, you know, concepts that my heart desires.
Mm-hmm. So. The true siren concept.
Put no song in a mermaid tale. That's what we want. That's what the people want. That's what they've been asking for this whole time. AT&T Twitter would lose their minds.
Yeah, a mermaid concept would hit. Mm-hmm. And I will say that they were right to not have, like, a super crazy concept on the hills of Coachella if they wanted Coachella people to check them out. Because if the Coachella people came and saw a mermaid concept, I do think they would be like, ooh, what? I don't know. Like, I don't know. Think about, like, a Taylor Swift concept. It's just a picture of her. And, like, if that was the market they were trying to appeal to, I don't know that they were wrong. I don't know that they were right in how they did it, but I don't know that they were wrong.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we'll be back with us next Wednesday and every Wednesday when we drop new episodes. If you enjoyed, please follow or subscribe to the podcast. You can connect with us at oldontini@gmail.com, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at HoloChatPodcast, or read more from our blog at ontini.com. We'll see you soon. Be the light.